Today we're here with Mark Brady of the band Jag Panzer. And Mark, talk about what the band is currently doing and what you guys currently have going on.
We have some shows coming up this summer. We've got Bang Your Head Festival in July and Sword Metal Festival in September. So we're looking to fill some dates around those. And I've seen some tentatives, but nothing set in stone yet. But yeah, we're anxious to get out and play. We haven't played for a while.
In my opinion, from a songwriting perspective, this is the best Jag Panzer album you guys have ever put out. And, you know, talk about this new album, maybe what some of the songs are about, and, you know, give people a little bit of a summary on it.
I really liked it a lot. I mean, I put a lot more into the songwriting on this record compared to other records. I mean, I usually put a lot of time into songwriting anyway, but this one, I think I wrote pieces of or parts of about 85 songs till I whittled down to this 10, and then we really had a lot of input from everybody in the band just trying to make every song better. So it was really, really good effort, good team effort trying to get these songs the best they could be. So I'm pretty happy with it. Like the cover and packaging, and I think it's pretty good. We songwriting was a ton of work. I started about 85 songs and whittled it down to this 10. All my bandmates contributed quite a bit. I mean, we put more into the songwriting on this than any other record, so that was pretty good. Response has been pretty typical. We get some good critical reviews. Average metal fan, a lot of people really like it. A lot of people, it's going to take them a while to get used to it. I don't know what that is about our music, but it's like it takes like 15 years before somebody tells me, until I start hearing, you know, that people are really getting into an album. It's really, really weird. I don't get it, because I don't think we play any weird, unusual music. But it just takes years for people to get into it.
Kind of like casting the stones.
Yeah, people still aren't into that. Because now I'm hearing, now Thane to the Throne is the one that people are telling me, oh, I'm really into Thane to the Throne. I'm going, okay, yep, that's about the timeline.
Yeah, and I remember when that album came out, a lot of people really didn't care for it, and, you know, including myself, but eventually I ended up really getting into that album a few years later down the road.
I loved it. I mean, Thane to the Throne is still my favorite.
I mean, every band has an album that just comes out and blows you away. Then, you know, it starts off a string of records that really turn out to be great. And, you know, I get this weird feeling that this new Jag Panzer album is actually the first of probably many great releases that I think are probably going to come down the road and be even better.
I would say so. Let me clarify first what I said earlier when I said people don't seem into it. I don't mean people don't like it or anything. I just mean that I'm not hearing from a lot of people that said, you know, this is the first album I'm getting into from Jag Panzer. This is a new experience with Jag Panzer. I'm just not hearing it on that. Not really hearing anything negative on it. But, yeah, to your point about a new direction and everything. Yeah, I think this one was really a big step forward for how much everybody contributed, because everybody usually contributes, you know, a pretty good amount, but it was through the roof on this record.
Right.
I mean, everybody was contributing everything. I was having every band member was just going through the songs with a fine-tooth comb. Yeah, it was, everybody just put, they really, really stepped up the game with their input on these songs.
So what changed in the band to really elevate everybody's level of contribution on this record?
Well, I think the biggest change is everybody's become so comfortable with the recording process now. We're recording ourselves more and more. So I think as people, like our bass player, John, he recorded his own bass tracks for this record. So as he became very comfortable using the equipment and engineering his own stuff, I think that opened his mind to you know, to the songs. Mm-hmm. Whereas on our older albums, you would be focusing on working with an engineer and producer, making sure, you know, he's got his parts down. So that was all secondary this time. He has parts down great, knew how to engineer, and all that was something that was already, you know, was already taken care of.
Right.
So, you know, so it really opened up. And that, it was like that with everybody in the band. I mean, everybody was real at ease with the recording process. So I think it let them focus on the songwriting more.
And, you know, in my circle and in listening to this album and what you guys have put out, you know, to me, it seems like there was a huge buzz for this record and has, you know, this album maybe increased the band's popularity any more than, say, what it has been. And maybe if it has increased, have you had any other festivals or, you know, any interest in booking the band a little bit more, you know, so you guys can play more gigs than, say, you normally do?
No, not really. You know, it's still the same festival. You know, like Prog Power won't book us. Mm-hmm. We haven't heard from Vakken, and Vakken's never called since we've been off of Century Media. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's a lot of the same festivals that I think we would fit on really well. Mm-hmm. You know, that just don't call, and you know, and I'm not trying to dog them. They, you know, they can run their festivals the way they want. It's just, you know, disappointing to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd love to go play Prog Power, but for reasons unknown to me, they just have no interest.
Well, I'll tell you what, you did that those reissues from High Roller, and I'll tell you what, I thought the box set was great, and the vinyl sounded amazing. And, you know, your newest album was on vinyl, which I thought sounded great as well. And, you know, have vinyl sales helped the band out at all?
Yeah, I think, yeah, vinyl sales have definitely helped. And we did the reissues with High Roller, and they were absolutely amazing to work with. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were great. They were really focused on making sure the vinyl sounded good, making sure the packaging was good. So that sort of gave us a base for the new album. So, you know, we wanted to make sure that the new album kind of fit that standard. Mm-hmm. We wanted to make sure the vinyl sounded good. You know, we didn't want the vinyl to just be like a novelty thing that people buy. We wanted, you know, the vinyl to be played and for it to sound good. So that was very important to us.
You know, now, of course, one of the other purposes of this interview is you were on my show 20 years ago, during the first year that it aired, and you were one of the first people I talked to, you're one of the first people I met, and I still remember sitting in my car interviewing you for my radio show, and you know, a lot of fond memories, and it's been 20 years since that happened. And here's the thing, you know, what are some of the highlights for you, for the band's career and yourself over the past 20 years?
I think definitely the highlight of the 20 years is just playing all around the world. I mean, that is, it's really cool for me to, you know, just gigging is fun. But if I'm in a new location, you know, I get to see a different culture. I get to meet new people. I get to meet people I've been friends with online. Doing things like 70,000 tons of metal was amazing. Mm-hmm. So just getting all around and playing was, I think, absolutely the best part for me. Just the recording process. I love recording records, so that's always fun. So we've done a lot of different sounding albums, and you know, over the years, and that was always fun. Yeah, just all of it's cool. I mean, I'm just really, really enjoy it all. Having the song in the movie Dark Places was great because I got to handle all the contracts. So it was just a completely new experience to work with the movie industry. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of fun. It was very different from the music industry. So it was cool. Yeah, anything, I just like all this stuff.
So let's take a little trip down memory lane here, Mark, and let's talk about each of the albums you put out over the last 20 years. And I can tell you we could start off with The Fourth Judgment, because I thought that album was just phenomenal. It had a great vibe to it. It's when Harry first came back into the band. And talk about your thoughts about that record looking back at it, you know, so many years ago now.
That album, yeah, brought Harry and Joey back, so it was really cool. It's like, you know, seeing friends again after years, so there was a lot of newness and freshness to it. It was cool. We had a good tour with Gamma Ray and Hammerfall after that, so it was our, His first record was Century Media. Worked with a lot of great people at Century Media. It was, you know, it was fun being on that label. So it was a lot of new experiences for me. It was our first record with Jim Morris. Mm-hmm. So I think that's my impression of Four Judgment. I like to listen to it now. I don't listen to a whole lot of Jagpanzer music. I don't know. It's just weird for me to listen to my own music, but I hear people play it occasionally, and I like it. Really liked the Judgment Day, which is, I guess you can't really call it the title track. Sort of the title track. The name is similar, but I think that's probably my favorite song off that album.
Now, an album I really love by you guys is the album Age of Mastery, and that was the album that really grabbed me, made me a pretty big Jagpanzer fan right there. We had a re-recorded version of Chain of Command, and you also had some pretty cool songs on that record, and looking back at it, I totally love that album still, and maybe your thoughts on that release.
Age of Mastery was, people love Age of Mastery. I mean, I hear people tell me that all the time. It's actually one of my least favorites. I felt like we were a little rushed getting into it, but although I do like Iron Eagle and the Moors off it quite a bit. I like the Jack Starr cover we did, but it's just not. I'm proud of everything we do, and I'm proud of the record, but it's certainly not. It's not one of my favorites. It's hard for me to pinpoint why, because I do love the Moors and Iron Eagle.
Gotcha.
I guess it's bittersweet a little bit. That's one of our good friends on the cover playing the Barbarian, and he died right after that came out, which was unfortunate. And he was a very close friend of mine and the band.
Now, the next album we're going to talk about is one that really most people, they've kind of forgotten about. I consider it the most forgotten Jagpanzer album, and I actually completely forgot about the record until before this interview, I went back and started listening to a lot of your music again, and that is the album Mechanized Warfare, and maybe give us your thoughts on that record.
Yeah, I think it's actually one of our most underrated records. I love Age of Mastery. I mean, I really, really like it a lot. I think that it just happened to come out at a time period where, there was a lot of releases then. Mm-hmm. And, even in underground metal, there's always certain styles that are popular at different times, and we're never in line with that, because I don't care about that.
Right.
So I think there was other styles of metal that were probably a little more popular than that, so I think that it was swept by the wayside a little bit, but I think it's got some great songs on it. All Things Renewed and Take to the Sky, and I think it's a very, very underrated record.
Now on to an album that I think is your most underrated album, which would be Tainted to the Throne. And I'm going to admit to you right now, I didn't really care for that album too much. But years later, and now I do. And, you know, it was a concept album. It was about Macbeth. It was something that really was out of the ordinary for you guys. And talk about that record for a little bit, because I know you mentioned it earlier about how much you loved it.
Well, we wanted to shake things up a little bit. We wanted to just do something different. So we thought, well, let's do a concept record. And we didn't want to make up our own concept ourselves, because I've heard bands do it, and I think there's a tendency, you know, either subconsciously or on an honest level, I think a lot of bands have the tendency to maybe skew the concept a little bit to match the music. Mm-hmm. And we didn't want to do that. We wanted to be locked into a story, so we picked Macbeth. I mean, it's got great dark themes. It's classic literature. So we picked Macbeth, and we forced ourselves. We said, we're not going to write some metal songs and adapt them to the lyrics. We really tried to write songs that fit the mood of that section of the storyline.
Right.
Chris and I divided the storyline right down the middle in the beginning. Okay, you take the intro, you take Lady Macbeth, this part, you take Duncan's death, this part. And both of us really approached it like we were scoring a soundtrack. So I think it gives it quite a bit different feel than a typical Jagpanzer record. There's not really individual songs on Tainted of the Throne. I think you really have to listen to it as a whole.
Right.
I don't. packaging doesn't blow me away on it. I think that hurt us a little bit. I had talked to Keith Parkinson at the time. He was a fantasy artist. He passed away a few years ago, but at the time he was one of the top fantasy artists in the world. And his manager told me he doesn't do album covers. But he had heard a song from this, and he had called me and wanted to do the record. And he's a brilliant artist and really, really wanted to do Macbeth, but it was out of budget. Century Media didn't want to budge on the budget, so we just couldn't swing it, which is unfortunate. It's just, you know, the packaging and everything just would have been just top-notch with his art. You know, and I'm not putting down the artist we had. I'm just saying this just would have been on another level with him doing art, but unfortunately it didn't happen.
Now, he did a compilation of re-recorded songs for called Decade of the Nail-Spiked Bat. And talk about the reason you did that. I mean, you re-recorded a bunch of the older tracks and came out with a whole compilation, a double CD version of this, actually, with a lot of your older material re-recorded back then. And talk about that.
Well, you know, our early material was sort of stuck in limbo. You know, we couldn't get everybody to agree on a contract. So Treasure Media suggested maybe we re-record the songs. So again, we thought we'd do something a little different again. So that album was pretty much just putting mics in front of our gear and running through the songs. I mean, that is not a lot of overdubbing, not a lot of, you know, let's do 10 guitar parts, not a lot of that. It's very stripped down, very lean. It's very demo-like. We used a cover that the artist from Ample had done years ago. We got the rights to the cover for that. So we wanted everything to be really, really old school on it. You know, we wanted it to be like something we would have done in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know some people really, really like it a lot. Some people didn't like it. It's not one of my favorites, but I think it's got its moments.
Now onto an album, Mark, that always baffles me why people don't like this, because it's one of my favorite albums you guys have ever put out. Casting the Stones. It seems like either people love it or they hate it. And I think it's an absolutely brilliant record. And talk about that one.
It's funny with that, because people will tell me they're not as into it, and that's fine. You know, I don't ever get mad at somebody's opinion, and, you know, in fact, I like to hear it, like to have a dialogue, you know, back and forth about what people think of the music. And it's funny, the common thing is people tell me, well, Casting the Stones, it sounds like you're trying to sound like Dream Theater. I said, really? I don't hear that at all. And then usually their next comment is, there's not really any standout songs. And then I'll start mentioning songs. Well, what about The Mission? Well, that's been on our live set. Okay. And then they say, well, okay, yeah, The Mission's really good. I say, okay, what about Legion of Mortal? Okay, well, that one too. What about Achilles? And then pretty soon people are rethinking their impression of the album. I think it has some of my favorite Jack Panzer songs on it. I think it's a great record. But, yeah, I don't know where people... I don't know where the Dream Theater comparison comes from. I have high respect for the musicianship in Dream Theater, but I don't listen to them. It's just not something I'm into, so I don't know where that comes from. I don't think it sounds anything like Dream Theater.
No.
But it's a common comparison, I hear.
Now, the next album, obviously, would be the album The Scourge of Light, and you guys did take a hiatus shortly after that, and, you know, even shortly before that as well, you guys really weren't doing much. And talk about The Scourge of Light, because it seems like it's like one of the lost albums in the catalog that people have forgotten about as well.
Yeah, I've heard comments about hiatus, too. We've taken a few of those. For us, you know, anytime the band has taken a hiatus, it is really... is because we don't know how to move forward. It's not really we don't want to play, we're not interested, or we're getting bored, or we want to do something else. We've always been at the level in the music business where sometimes it's very hard to move forward. I mean, it's hard to get the next set of gigs. It's hard to get the budget for the next record. Mm-hmm. you know, and you see it in the movie industry, there's just certain, you see certain underground directors who make really cool films, but then they're far apart. And then I'll read, well, you know, they're working on the financing and they're working on other things. And that's the way it is for us often in our career. We have to try to figure out how to make things work.
Right.
So Scourge was our first record with SPV. That's the one we put a ton of effort into the production on that. We mixed it down on Morris's Morrisound. They'd gotten the new SSL board. We mixed it on that. We had Sterling Sound master it, which was thousands out of my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
For that, I was so disappointed. Not a single person mentioned anything about it. Not one review or anything going, really like the production on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it sounds amazing. I think it's a great sounding record. It was a little bit of adjustment working with SPV. I mean, they're great guys. You know, it's a cool label, been around for years, but it's different from Century Media. And it's very different from what we'd experienced in the past. So it was a little bit of a change working with that, because they actually do things quite a bit differently from Century Media.
Mm.
So that was a bit of a departure working with that. But I like the record. I think it's got some good songs on it. I don't think that album's caught on yet. I think we got to give that a few more years.
And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of albums where I don't think about production too much, and with the Scourge of Light up, I'll be flat out honest with you, I didn't notice it either.
I think it really should ring a bell in far less people than it does.
Yeah.
Because I see people just harp on it. And every time I read it or hear people talk about it, I'm like, okay, if you're really, really that much into production, mention Scourge of the Light. Or if you're really, really that much into production, mention the fact that we were doing analog drums way later than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were doing analog drums up through Thane of the Throne.
Mm-hmm.
And it was expensive. So, I mean, we've really try to put our money where our mouth is with production, and we've gotten, you know, pretty much zero brownie points for that.
I mean, I guess I never really paid attention to it too much, because I don't think any of your albums have really sounded horrible or the production's terrible. So, you know, I'll be honest with you, I never really paid that much attention to it.
And I'm not a big production guy when I listen to other bands. I mean, as long as I can hear the instruments and catch the melody, I'm fine with it. You know, I grew up on the new wave of British heavy metal, where the production just varied wildly from band to band or even from song to song. So I never got caught up in it. But, I know a lot of people that are. So, you know, we always try to make our records sound the best they can.
So, you know, have you ever thought about it or gotten any offers to really tour on the other side of the country, say by where I live in the Midwest, or even going to the East Coast?
Oh, we would love to. It's tough for us, though. We aren't quite a big enough band to make that financially doable for us or a promoter. But, you know, sometimes it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got a promoter that's going to maybe put on a small festival or has a good collection of bands, and then they can make it happen. So that's where we're at with that. I mean, I like playing as much as possible. You know, I'd love to go out and play tonight if I could, but
right.
we can't lose money on gigs. There's a lot of bands that have record company backing. We're not one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's never any situation where a record company will say, we want you to play Cleveland, the gig doesn't pay enough for the flights, so we'll cover it. That doesn't exist in our world.
Right.
And Cleveland's my favorite place in the U.S. to play. I just absolutely love playing Cleveland. But, you know, to play Cleveland, we have to have our expenses covered. I can't pay it out of my pocket.
Mark, it's been great to have you on my show off and on for the last 20 years. And do you have any last words to say to the fans that will be checking this out?
That's always so tough, because, you know, I always want to say thanks, but that is the most cliche answer. I mean, that's what everybody says. Fans that don't even mean it say it. I mean, yeah. Everybody says that. I really do appreciate people that listen to the band, because, you know, we don't have radio hits, we don't have mass promotion, we don't, I mean, anybody, our whole career is based on, you know, underground metal fans listening to us. So, you know, I would have nothing if it weren't for that.
Right.
So the fans are everything. So, yeah, I really appreciate that. Thank you.